Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Good afternoon. This is Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, welcoming you to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is, a renowned photographer with the Because of Them We Can campaign being extended. Her name is Unique Jones Gibson, and she is extremely unique. And Unique, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I have to tell you, I was so impressed with your exhibit in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the Jefferson School City Center, African American Heritage Center. You have an exhibit that's running from when to when?
It's up now through April. So it'll be up through mid-April.
Very good. Now, let's talk about what is Because of Them We Can.
Sure. So Because of Them We Can started in 2013, Black History Month 2013.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking of a way to empower my two sons, who are black boys who grew up to be black men,
mm-hmm.
and thinking of ways to help refute stereotypes, but at the same time give them a strong foundation of who they are and just the greatness that they come from. And so thinking along those veins, I thought about dressing young people up as trailblazers, mm-hmm. along with a quote from that trailblazer to help frame that person or their life message. And it has evolved, of course, past the 28 days that I originally planned to do the campaign for into a 365-day initiative where ever since February 2013, this has been our focus to photograph young people by putting them in the shoes of history makers and help share history in a relatable way with them.
Fantastic. I want to remind you that I may not have said this to you, actually, when we met at your exhibit. I was really moved by something you said that night. You made the statement that you started this, and we'll get to your sons in a second because I know they're the inspiration. But you started this because it's more than, you said, than just taking photographs of cute kids. Most of the children, black American children, minority children, have as their historic figures, if you will, old black and white pictures, and you wanted to make, I hope I'm not misquoting you, at least paraphrasing correctly, you wanted to give them a living image in color where they could see themselves now relating to or as a connection to, an extension of, those old black and white photos. And when you said that, I thought, that's ingenious. It makes so much sense because there is a lot that went on in our history, and the best that we can get is old grainy black and white videos sometimes. So
right.
I wanted people to know that when you say you're taking these photographs so that you can show how they relate to the pathfinders and those who launched civil rights and equal rights and human rights, and it is a connection to that. And so, having said that, let's just go back and revisit your opening statement. You sort of costume them with the suggestion of, and they also sort of resemble the people they're representing or the extension of.
Yes.
Yes. Go with that. Tell us more.
So to your point, So to your point, a lot of the trailblazers that we hear about within the African American community, the images that we have or the references that we have are antiquated images that we appreciate, but they're a little antiquated. They're black and white, they're grainy,
yeah.
And sometimes they're hard to relate to. And so what we decided to do was to take children who resembled these individuals, who
yes.
had characteristics or visible traits that might have reflected on that individual, and we would dress them up in clothing and with props, hats, glasses,
yes.
ties, whoever they're portraying, we would dress them up as that individual and also share who they were portraying with them, who that person was, why is Frederick Douglass important, why is Harriet Tubman important, and then take a picture of that young person pretty much channeling the trailblazer. And then what we did after we took that picture was we placed a quote alongside the picture so that we took it a step above just a cute picture of a young child, but we wanted to make sure that people understood who this child is portraying and why it's important. And then to pretty much package it together, we put the phrase that has become part of our company and campaign now, which is "Because of them, we can," on the image to share.
Yes, and it is amazing photography and a mission that is unique. Not trying to be funny. That so impressed me when you made that statement at the Jefferson School that I thought, gee, I need to have her on the radio for sure. So now let's get to those wonderful two sons of yours who are the inspiration for this campaign, Because of Them We Can. Tell us about that. Why, that's a personal piece. There are a lot of reasons, I'm sure, that you've carried on and the feedback and so forth. What about your sons specifically hit you with this needed to be done?
I'll tell you, in 2012, when Trayvon Martin was murdered, I created my first social justice campaign using my camera.
Yes.
It was my first time that I understood that my camera or that my lens could be my microphone. I had at the time my son Chase, and I was also 5 months pregnant with my son Amari.
Yeah.
And I felt a sense of responsibility to use my voice in a positive way.
Yes.
1 year later was 2013, February 2013, and I was thinking about the anniversary of that young boy's death.
Yes.
And I started to think about my own children and the future and the world that they would face, some of the challenges that they will inevitably encounter simply because of the color of their skin and
yes.
because of their gender. And thinking along those lines, I also started to become inspired because my sons were born during President Barack Obama's election and during his re-election. I have election day.
All right.
And so,
we won't read too much into that, but okay.
We won't. So when I noticed that, you know, regardless of whether you, voted for the president or not, the fact that he is the first African-American president is monumental, and for me, it spoke volumes that countered those negative thoughts that I was having and enabled me to see that, you know what, even though it is a cruel world, even though there is a lot that they will face because they're black boys and will be black men, there's still so much positivity that exists. And the problem is we don't highlight those positive aspects enough. We don't highlight the trailblazers enough or beyond Black History Month. And so in order to create a self-esteem bubble for my own son, I felt like this was the perfect way. And then, of course, it became something much bigger than just my two kids. I realized that this fear, but also this hope at the same time, existed within other parents, not just black, but other parents in general across
yes.
the country. And it's the reason why the campaign has resonated with individuals of all walks of life.
Yes. It is a sad thing when I, for instance, I've told people this before, when my father talked to me about police, I was already driving. I was an adult, or at least a teenager old enough to drive. I can't remember, but I know I got a speeding ticket. And, you know, I had been speeding. I wasn't going to argue about it or whatever, but when I came home, I said I thought something was wrong about it or wasn't fair or whatever, and my father said, so my talk was, the point I'm getting to, my talk from my father was regarding police, did you do this? Did you speed? Yes. And were you polite to the policeman? You didn't argue about something you knew you had done was wrong? Yes. That was my conversation. But the conversation that fathers, we hear a lot of this now, which is good, that fathers need to have with their sons is a very, about police, is a very different kind of conversation. And how do you and your husband, even now, I know your children are quite young, I hope they don't have to have that conversation this early, but how do you feel about that hasn't gone away? Even the President of the United States and the Attorney General and others speak of the necessity, the Mayor of New York. What do you think? I mean,
I think they are necessary conversations that have to be had. I think, you know, my sons are 2 years old and 6 years old, and so my job right now is to make sure that I give them a very strong foundation so that once of this world become very apparent to them that they already know who they are.
Yes.
That none of that will shake them because they understand the DNA that exists within them and how many great things have evolved out of it. And so that's my job and my responsibility right now with them. However, we do recognize that those conversations are going to have to be had. Make sure that you're polite. Make sure that you listen. Make sure your hands are visible. Yeah. These are conversations that people of other races might not have to have with their sons, but it's just a reality, and I think it's sad, but I also think it's irresponsible not to have the conversation or to think that the conversation shouldn't be had because no one wants to be that parent.
Yes.
I think that with social media, I don't think that, you know, what happened with what's happening around the country is new.
Uh-huh.
I think that because of social media, we're hearing about it faster.
Yes, yes.
We're learning about it. You know, there were more Emmett Till's, but his mom had to go on a crusade and go on the road to make people aware of what happened to him. But that happens all around the country now. We hear about it sooner or quicker or faster because of social media. And so I think that it's a conversation that we have to have. My prayer is that we'll live in a world one day where it doesn't have to be a conversation, where the police will actually go back to being a part of the community instead of looking at the community as the enemy, looking at the community as their partners, and and ensuring that it is a safe environment and neighborhood or community for all people. But, you know, it's sad, but the reality is we have to keep having it until everyone just begins to really look at, you know, look at you as my neighbor. Look at you as somebody who isn't a threat. You know, assuming the best, understanding that there's a little good in all of us. And I think that as long as we have these stereotypes or these preconceived, biases or beliefs that are rooted in really faulty ground, I feel like we'll always look at the other person or another individual in a light that may not necessarily be real or true.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and there is we have to attack it on all fronts. And speaking of which, what is the mission of Because of Them We Can? It seems to be to counter that very reality.
Yeah, so the mission of Because of Them We Can is really to ensure that not just young people, but people of all ages know about the trailblazers, past and present, who have done amazing things, not just so that they're aware of them, but so that they know what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that they know that if it was possible for Garrett Morgan or Rosa Parks, or if it was possible for Alexis Herman or Eric Holder or whomever, Judge Sonia Sotomayor, it's also possible for me as well. There's no real difference. It's a matter of how we see ourselves and how we pursue our dreams or our goals. And so we believe that you cannot be what you cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And so Because of Them We Can, the mission is to pretty much help people formulate a vision for themselves by understanding other visions that have come to fruition in the embodiment of these trailblazers. And so that's our mission. That's our goal. And I believe that the more you know about your history, you feel obligated, you feel a responsibility to honor it, to
mm-hmm.
honor sacrifices of those who have come before you. When you don't have a connection to the sacrifices that were made during the Civil Rights Movement, or even the sacrifices that your parents made to ensure that you went to college, or ensure that there was a roof over your head or food on the table, then it becomes very easy for you to be negligent, ungrateful, and then unappreciative in how you interact or go throughout life. But if you know the struggles, if you know the hard work, the blood, sweat, the tears, the sleepless nights, whatever the case may be, if you know what went into ensuring your safe passage, then you act a little different when it comes to paying it forward and making sure that you honor that sacrifice through what you're able to accomplish or pursue in life.
And, you know, I always say, listen to the children, and you are giving the children the visual that they need, so that fuels there, because children get it. You know, they learn, they watch us when we don't know they're watching us. I've just had that experience so many times. I don't have any children of my own, but I dated a lady once who had a most adorable daughter. And I tell you, if I lost my glasses or where did I put my cup of coffee or whatever, she knew exactly. And, you know, no one, because they're always observing and absorbing. And with your photographs, they are now absorbing, and they are the connection between what was in the past and what can be in the future. I mean, they're that bridge, I think. And there it is in living color. It's another thing I'd like to touch on, as not being a black person, that really impresses me too of your book. We want to talk about that and all the other things, the t-shirts, all of it. But when you say trailblazers, for some of us, we know the very famous trailblazers. You know, we know about Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We know Malcolm X. We know Frederick Douglass, whatever. But we don't know all the trailblazers that are covered in your book, in your photography. And I think that's another tremendous benefit to what you're doing. Tell us a bit about that before we go to break.
Right. So when we originally did the 28 days in 2013, the reason why I decided to quit my job and keep it going was because 28 people was so limiting.
Yes.
We knew that it was way more than 28
yes.
individuals within our history who have impacted and influenced the culture in a positive way. And so there are people, like you said, that we haven't heard of or that we didn't know about. Even someone as modern as a Lonnie Johnson, who was the creator of the Super Soaker, a toy I know children from my generation and even generations now use every day, but never knew that a black man actually invented that. And so we wanted to unearth individuals who you never hear about. And there's still people who we haven't even discovered just yet, who are in neighborhoods and communities and schools, you know, basketball courts, walking the hallways of various institutions, who are really effectuating change that we want to know about and we want to highlight, because it happens in the present as much as it's happened in the past. And so, yeah, in that book, there are 365 people that are highlighted via little mini versions of them, if you will. And there are a fact that accompanies each photograph, let you understand what that person's contribution was on a high level. But it's very important that we understand that there's more than, while we appreciate Dr. Martin Luther King, we appreciate Malcolm X, we appreciate Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks, there are other individuals who maybe even were in their circles or in their surroundings who also made significant contributions that we never heard about. Individuals even like a Fred Gray, who was the attorney of a Dr. King or Rosa Parks or tons of other individuals that need to be unearthed and covered in the campaign.
Absolutely. All right. We are talking to Unique Jones Gibson, who is a photographer extraordinaire who has launched the campaign Because of Them We Can. We'll be right back. Stay with us. There's more to talk about. This is a fascinating woman and an amazingly important contribution historically to all races in America and the world. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. When the producer of Let Me In was asked why one would remake a film already considered by many to be a masterpiece, in this case the subtle and sensitive Swedish Let the Right One In, his reply was telling: to pay homage to the original. This one deserves a wider audience. Reluctantly, we'll share that this is a vampire tale. But don't let that turn you off. Suffused in muted hues, the filmmakers create a cold and sorrowful world from which emerges an intriguing love story. There is no solace here for a lonely outcast, whether innocent adolescent or forever young. This is a story of pain, of relationship, of survival. Is it a love story? Yes. A horror story? Yes. A story of touching depth and detail? Yes. We enter a virtual world and sense the possibility of something out of the ordinary. A story emerges. We are further intrigued. Please don't disappoint. And then we have something very special indeed. Whichever of these very special films you watch first, the original Swedish gem, Let the Right One In, or the American remake, Let Me In, you'll want to let both in. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is the creator, founder of the new campaign, Because of Them We Can. I'm talking with Unique Jones Gibson, and we're going to continue telling you all about it. It is a beautiful, visual, photographic, in living color connection that both recognizes our past and launches us, inspires us to do better in our future. How's that, Unique? Is that...
That sounds amazing.
Okay, well, it is amazing. Well, but let's touch a little on your life prior to Because of Them We Can campaign. You mentioned
sure.
In the last segment you quit your job. What were you doing?
Sure. So I was working, a graduate of HBCU, went straight into the online advertising industry. And so I was working in online advertising and social media marketing, pretty much creating campaigns for the purpose of advertising brands. And so I enjoyed the work, but when you work in advertising and you recognize that there's an absence of brown faces in the industry. And so really, Because Then We Can, saw the opportunity to broadcast this message and create what I didn't see on a full-time basis and to leverage the experience that I had when I worked at Microsoft, when I worked at AOL, when I worked at other brands for other companies, and transition it into this campaign in order to create some positivity out there on the internet where, you know, just like in society and media, online, there's just as much on a negative side that you can come across if you're not careful. And so I felt like this would be a great way to broadcast a positive message online on a full-time basis.
Yes.
With the goal of not sales, but pretty much promoting self-esteem.
Well, you know, it that tells us two things, at the very least, that you had the capability to brand the good, as well as some of the things that, you know, are not so proud in our history, terrible things, and not just not proud of, but that you have the expertise to brand and to market, but it also tells us that you took a leap of faith. You walked away from what is a lucrative career and decided, well, if I'm going to be marketing, I want to market something that feeds the soul, that opens minds, that advances the race. And I mean by the race, I mean the human race.
Absolutely.
But sometimes, you know, your passion grabs you and you realize, aha, this is why I'm here.
I mean, that is the perfect way to put it. Saw an opportunity to pursue passion on a full-time basis. I tell everyone that I love my job. I love my coworkers. I love the people I was working with and the work that I was doing.
Uh-huh.
But saw how all of my experiences individually and collectively prepare me for what I'm doing right now. And
yes.
So, and being able to brand the good and being able to market things that build self-esteem and actually push social change. And I knew
yes.
very early on that that's a field and that was an industry that I was passionate about and wanted to be involved in, but never knew how it would actually unfold and happen for me. And so it was just all, I guess, divine order and how it all came together and really just ended up being this amazing campaign that I was able to combine all those interests into this, what I'm doing right now.
You know, that's. I'm glad to hear you say that, because this is not, my next question is not the kind of question I would ask everybody. But are you having still those little aha moments when you realize, that's why I learned that. That's why I was working that. That's why I went to that place way back. It's all coming together. I really do believe, I believe timing is divine, but I also believe life has a direction. We all have a definite major purpose. To quote, Think and Grow Rich? I can't think of his name now, but but what I discovered in addition to those two very true things about human nature, but life also has a direction, and you find out even in a daily basis, little by little, you got lost one day, and now the next thing you know, a month later, you need to find a place, and you know how to find it because you got lost near there once. All of this comes together. Do you have those aha moments still about because of them we can, when you see how much your past, your life has brought you to this point, and how does that leave you feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I have those moments almost every day.
Yeah.
Where I realize you know, why I had a specific experience.
Yes.
When at the time it maybe didn't make sense. Even if something as minor as my first job, I worked at Domino's. I worked at Domino's for my first job, and I really learned about hard work and just having a very strong work ethic.
Yes.
And you know, that was making pizza. Or you know, something as far as there's a lot of different experiences I believe have happened, some very tragic, some just very mundane, and some that any, you know, regular person would encounter on a day-to-day basis. But I believe that it's all coming full circle, and I've been able to make sense of a lot of experiences or advice or, you know, just upbringing.
Yes.
That really has enabled me to be in a position like this. And the position being understanding that it's not about me.
Yes.
What I'm doing has nothing to do with me. The vision is not exclusive to me, and it's not for me. And so I understand that I'm doing what I'm doing because it's about other little kids out there, other little minds,
yes,
other little worlds,
yes,
other individuals that we have to keep working and pushing for. And
yes,
so I feel like there were a collection of experiences that enabled me to even have that perspective. And if I didn't have that perspective, I don't think I would be doing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I would be operating wouldn't be the same. And so
yes,
absolutely every day, things come to me where it's like, oh, that's why that happened, or that's why I was in that position, or that's why I had that boss, or that's why that person got on my nerves so much. Whatever it is, it
yes,
all makes sense now, and it all made me who I am, and it's made me prepared for what I'm doing right now. So if anybody's out there, I can say that whatever you're going through, one day it'll all make sense.
Yes.
I know there are things that'll make sense 20 years from now that don't make sense today, but I've been encouraged through this campaign and through what I'm doing to understand that eventually it'll all go full circle.
Fantastic. Well, I just knew from what you were saying you had to be that kind of person. Tell us something about the actual physical presence of the exhibit of your work at the African American Historic Society, Heritage Society, at the Jefferson School. How is the layout? I've seen it. I know it was missing one portion the night that it opened, but has that arrived? And what's the physical layout? How is it mounted, if you will?
Yeah, so everything's there, mounted on the walls. There are select images from the campaign, along with quotes.
Yes.
From individuals that frame the actual walls or the actual images that are on specific walls.
Yes.
There's also what we like to call an imagination station that features clothing and props that the young people can put on as they go through the exhibit to kind of help them to see themselves as the individuals that are being portrayed on the wall.
Wow.
And so if there is a a Mae Jemison on the wall. Perhaps there is also a space helmet that they can put on as they're walking through the exhibit to imagine themselves as an astronaut. If there is, you know, if there's a Spike Lee on the wall, if you will, maybe there's a Brooklyn hat, a wall of glasses, and a Mars chain. There are a number of props there that kind of help the young people really just fully experience what that exhibit is offering, and really just to help them reimagine themselves. We call our exhibit Reimagination Lab, where the goal is to go in one way, but to come out just totally looking at your life or your potential or your future in a different light, even if it was already in a positive light. Maybe you're going to think a little bit bigger. Maybe you're going to, you know, you're going to see a little bit further. Maybe you're going to, you know, hope more, dream more. The goal is that when you walk out, you will have a different perspective, having seen those images and learned about the individuals who are on those walls or who the children are portraying on those walls.
That's right. That's a reminder. It's children now dressed as or and resembling these trailblazers from the past. So there's that real connection, past, present, and future. Tell us, speaking of past, present, and future, I know you get incredibly positive feedback from all over the world, all nationalities, all colors, male, female, old, young. What's the immediate future? And tell us how we can find out more and buy these wonderful products that because of them we can is a part of and promoting and using to give the lesson, the life, the history.
Yeah, so what's next? These images are going to start coming to the actual communities that we're trying to impact and reach, which is pretty much everyone. And so that can be in the form of billboards, it can be in the classroom, it can be in churches, but we have a full plan that we're rolling out next month to actually make sure that these images are where they need to be the most, and that's in communities. We love the fact that we're in the Jefferson Center, and we want to be there. We want to be at other exhibits similar to that one or similar organizations and institutions like we have in Charlottesville, Virginia. But we also believe that we need to be in the community. We need to be on the billboards that used to be reserved for divorce or tobacco or alcohol ads, and instead there needs to be a Because of Them We Can ad. And so that's the move that we're making. We're making sure that, you know, we want to rewrite the way in which history is told or shared. And so having these books in classrooms and in libraries accessible through school districts is also very important to us. Having an experience where, you know, if you're not in Charlottesville, you can still access this through a potential exhibit that's on wheels. There are a number of different things that we're doing, but the goal is just to make sure that it reaches as many eyeballs and as many ears as possible so that all children, or not just children, but people in general, know that the sky is just the beginning for us all. And as far as where you can keep up, I would say the website is becauseofthemwecan.com, becauseofthemwecan.com. You can follow along there or also on our Facebook page, which is Because of Them We Can on Facebook. If you just search it, you'll find us, and we post announcements there often. We share information about products from books to T-shirts to activity guides. Everything's online, and so that would be the best way to access us.
That is all fabulous, unique. Tell me, how are schools? Are you having a reaction from, you know, principals, superintendents yet that would be a way in to accomplish some of the things you're talking about? Because, frankly, your book, Because of Them We Can, should, I think, be in every library. That's my opinion. But how are educational institutions responding?
Positive response. We actually, it's so positive, we actually went back, and so we do have a hardcover book that we offer online for sale, but the school districts have been so interested that we went back and created a paperback version of the book for the students.
Very good.
So, so the response has been great. We've been working on getting into the system so that they can order from us. And then a number of principals and superintendents have just started to reach out to us directly. And so a number of relationships are being brokered there. And I would say if that anyone is listening and they're interested, definitely send us an email through our website, and we'll be more than happy to send over some information and make sure that this book is in every library and that every child has access to this information. And as we grow, we expand. It's not just limited to African-American children, but all children who have this struggle with self-esteem and battling images or stories or narratives in the media that aren't representative of who we really are. It's going to grow, and it's going to continue to be a staple in our community.
I can see this expanding to every child, especially those who have been the targets of cyberbullying or bullying in school. This would go hand in hand with something like that, that even for the bully, not just the target of the bullying, but the bully too needs to learn something about their humanity and their worth, because I think one of the reasons children bully is because they do feel inferior in some way. So there's just so much. And then back to the police and their relationship with the community. It's just so much that your photography and the campaign Because of Them We Can is contributing. And the more it grows and expands, I just think it's such a worthy addition to our everyday thinking and POV. So what, if anything, we haven't, because we're going to have to go soon, but what is there, any last thing you want to make certain we impart knowing about you and Because of Them We Can, and anything we need to do or know?
Yeah, I would just say that, understand that we believe that Because of Them We Can is everyone's movement, and that it's a community initiative for us all. And so if anyone wants to be involved, if anyone has any suggestions for individuals that we should highlight, whatever the case may be, billboard space that we should own, communities that we should be in, schools that we should visit, places where we should send books, it doesn't matter what the question or the interest is. I would say that, you know, that we're more than open to talking to people, and that you can reach out to us again on our website at becauseofthemwecan.com.
Very good. You know, this billboard thing has me quite intrigued, especially as you said, you know, billboards and what they advertised are picked. The locations are chosen by what the, who am I talking to? I don't need to tell you this. What the advertiser, where the advertiser thinks this is where I'm going to get the most payback and bang for my buck. So it becomes, that in itself is another, I'm trying to think of a word besides prejudicial, but that's a prejudgment of that neighborhood, that community. And if instead there was a Because of Them We Can on billboards like that, man, now you're talking, because you're uplifting everybody. I know you're way ahead of me on this. This is
and that's the goal.
This has been fantastic. I so appreciate your being on the show. Just talking to you again. We didn't get to talk a lot the night I met you, because it was the opening of the exhibit, and of course everyone wanted to talk to you and get an autographed book, and so did I. But I'm glad we had this opportunity, and I look forward to future conversations. One more time, Because of Them We Can.com and the Facebook site.
Search Because of Them We Can on Facebook. It'll pull right up for you.
Fantastic. There are a lot of items, I mean, in the store and the products, and they're all wonderful to show your support, but also reach out to your own communities and schools, and if they don't know about becauseofthemwecan.com, you need to introduce it. All right. Thank you so much. We've been talking with a photographer extraordinaire, Unique Jones Gibson, who is the founder and launcher of the campaign Because of Them We Can. And let's all remember that as we go forward and how we live with one another. Thank you so much, Unique, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. We all celebrate prestigious Oscars awarded to high-profile stars, but there is great talent behind the scenes as well. For example, perhaps we should pay attention to editing? Whiplash is a story set within a prestigious music conservatory. Miles Teller plays Andrew, a gifted jazz drummer who seeks to be legendary. Depending on one's point of view, he has the fortune or misfortune of running into Fletcher, played by J.K. Simmons, the impassioned director of the conservatory jazz program. Fletcher thrives on winnowing out the weak with his vicious approach to mentorship. Whiplash is a very good film, but then comes a few seconds of transformative greatness. We would argue that it is this minute section of film that transforms the notable into the extraordinary. Just a few seconds so strategically presented as to challenge the audience to reevaluate once hard-set judgments, transforming the abhorrent into the praiseworthy. They are so powerful that when these few seconds play, J.K. Simmons becomes a shoe-in for his Oscar. Whiplash earns its nomination for Best Picture, and its editor Tom Cross, credited with crafting this moment of genius, earns his own breath of rarefied Oscar air. Whiplash. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. Thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Mayday, mayday, dancing in the streets. August 9th, 2014, Ferguson, Missouri. N-word, shot by cop, left on ground dead. ID, Michael Brown. Early morning, April 12, 2015, 26-year-old Freddie Gray made eye contact with Baltimore police on West Side. A week later, on sheeted hospital bed, died after a rough ride. Somewhere between brown and gray, white discovers what black always knew about some blue. Yellow journalism and red politicians scrambling to comprehend new reality, juggle incline, tap dancing for right position. Pink Union mouthpiece holds the old gray line. Now, somehow, the Christian thing to do is to become pragmatic as the Jew, for after being exterminated by the millions, you grasp as night follows the day, militarize force enforcing community curfew, in a moment can snatch life's breath away. What if love thy neighbor as thyself, rather than creating martyrs with bullets penetrating flesh? By the thousands we march silently through every city, not like Sherman to the sea, but softening as we go SCOTUS marriage hearts, changing minds with massive Stand By Me, reaping what we sow. Twice we've overwhelmed Wall Street elections dough. Alas, 'tis not the rioters for media show that direct in which direction we must go. Though if it bleeds, ratings is their motivation, our smartphones now lift our voices in equal augmentation. Thus we stand like Lady Liberty in contemplation, ignited by total information, on pedestal for all to see, if only we know our complete history. Despite fear and the seeds of hate blooming still in our nation, we can embrace all, regardless of gender, political, or sexual persuasion. Now pressing hard upon us as a choice, trusting in we the people, we overcome paid K Street puppets puppeteering to keep us feeble. No president not on the money can be solo perfect solution, for as long as we march off to war to fill the coffers of those too big to jail for restitution, we'll continue to brew a tea-stained fault line as earth destroyers electing to take us back again to Guantanamo's waterboarding shame. But we're not here to fill in the Jersey Bridge gang hollow, but to refrain from political POVs which, once out from the shadows and at the keel, seek to supplant our roots and unravel what was once our New Deal. Choosing to ignore voter ID as Jim Crow epilogue, we forget white's only derision is not past but prologue. It's what separate but equal bequeaths our present prejudice and future decision. Yet, unlike women on the battlefields of minimum wage, constitutional inequality, domestic violence, and campus rape, no Wall Street banker was ever forced to abuse the public trust as 17th Amendment reversing governors running our coke states do. Now, ours is not to reason why, but ours is surely to reason. For right or left, this is our story, front and center. Why have we only just noticed more people of color are shot by good and bad men and women with one thing in common? Wayne LaPierre's bottom line. Why do we argue over who's responsible for climate change and the Great Recession instead of pooling our diversity for universal solutions? How do we elect common sense and human decency? When will we turn off media talking heads and turn out politicians offering only talking points? Why do we allow Madison Avenue and Wall Street marketing to distract us from becoming people demanding action? As we are all living longer, why don't we fund Alzheimer's research instead of perpetual war? What we have been is no longer a guarantee, for in one brief shining moment we can lose our destiny if we fail to embrace we are family. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of The Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.